turn on the light. Don't lap it, it would be alright. Pull me out another phone. I'll ring and see if your friends are home. Perhaps the strange ones in the dome can lend us a book we can read up alone and try. Get it on. Crash course for the rails. It's a driving Saturday. Young, the foreman prayed at work. Neither hands nor limbs would burst. It's hard enough to keep formation with this fallout saturation. Personate the astronaut who stands and still by his cabinet. He's crashing out with Sylvia. The bureau's a blind for raging men. It's not in it, he gazes to the shore. Once outraged to see the raids no more. Like the video film.
WMFO in Medford. Hey, it's a crash course for the Ravers show. And a big thank you for Kirsten. Great show. Something about the woman there. We're 91.5 WMFO in Medford. I'm Brian Young. I have my friend Ben hanging out with me today. So you'll be the sidekick. You can chime in whenever you want, Ben. No problem. Right. Just say hello to the folks.
Hey,
Ben,
how's it going, guys?
Ben Wentworth, right?
Yep.
No band today, no live bands, but we have a great interview from Spencer Drate. He's going to be calling in. He's like designer of albums and designer, creator, artist, Spencer Drate. Look him up if you don't know who he is. He's going to call in like 10 minutes. So stick around for that. We'll just crank some tunes till then, you know? I mean, this guy should be an interesting call. He designed Ramones albums, Lou Reed, Joan Jett. So I'm sure we'll be playing. Maybe we'll play some stuff from those songs as we interview them, or we'll do it after. I don't know. I'll see what Spence wants to do, but he'll be calling in quarter past, about 10 minutes from now. Let's start with some Stooges, eh?
Hey.
Hey. It's MFO.
Up.
Lester Grinspoon, Associate Professor Emeritus of Psychiatry at the Harvard Medical School. Back in 1966, concerned that so many young people were harming themselves through the use of marijuana, I began to review the medical and scientific literature to help clarify the nature of this harmfulness. Much to my surprise, I discovered that it was a substance remarkably free of toxicity. In fact, it is far safer than any pharmaceutical or recreational drug. There is no record of a single overdose death from its recreational or medicinal use. Marijuana is one of the most studied substances. I believe that it is high time that this country reconsider its stance on cannabis.
Them legalize marijuana.
Hey guys, it's Brian Young of A Crash Course for the Ravers.
It's a crash course for the Ravers.
Where we play deep cuts, lost classics, live tracks, your requests, and plenty of local rock sprinkled throughout. I'm joined by my beautiful co-host, Marie Michelle.
That's me.
1 to 4 p.m. Saturdays. Don't miss it on 91.5 WMFO in Medford.
face to face.
WMFO in Medford. It's a crash course for the Ravers show on 91.5. And we have Spencer Drake calling in any second. I'm just waiting for that phone to flash. And there it is. Oh, my God. Right on time. You know, things never work out that easy, Ben.
No, I can imagine.
Yeah, I'll put your mic up. You can add anything you want, Ben, all right? Actually, you know what? Tell me if you need to, because that AC is pretty loud over there. Yeah, we got Spence on, I think. MFO, Spencer, is that you?
That's me.
What's up, buddy?
It's rock and roll time, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, it's always rock and roll time, but it's even more so when Spencer Drake calls.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you.
And yes, Spencer Drake, award-winning creator, director, designer, author, and radio host, Spencer Drake. How's it going?
For the people out there, I guess I could start off telling us about us. We're very famous. We've designed through the years.
When you say we, you have a partner, well, Judith?
My partner, I wish she was here, Judith Salovich. She's in Italy right now for a vacation. We both have been designing since 1982 together. Before that, I was designing for Sire Records and ESP Disc, and we collaborated, and since then... you know, we've done major packaging for, you know, the famous in music, and actually including 23 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees. And we're very proud to be in major collections of MoMA, AIGA, and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame archival collections. So that's a big thing in our life. And we recently, I want to talk about a recent event we just had, Brian. At the Howl Gallery, May 18th, we had our first event of our music life, I call it, music design life, with visuals of some of our best design product with stories, the great stories behind it, which a lot of people didn't know. And we had on our panel Sylvia Reed, who designed with us on the Lou Reed and Velvet area packaging, and John Holmstrom, who did the famous artwork on Road to Ruin.
Right.
And we're going to take... And it was a packed house, so we're going to go on tour with this to art and design schools in the fall and music venues. So that's a big thing that's going on with us. And also, we just got interviewed by AIGA, the big design organization, an interview. And both those things will be on YouTube in a couple of months. That's the other thing. So there's a lot of stuff going on.
Fantastic.
It's a really big thing. So that's part of our life. And... we have a book out called 545s. We've done 21 pop culture books. This book was done in 2010 with a foreword written by Lenny Kay.
Nice.
That's a very cool book. Jack White owns it. A lot of famous music people own it. It's a type of book you should have, and it's also connected with the, you know, the vinyl resurgence going on right now, as you well know, in recording. So,
yep.
Yeah, you know, like I'm a vinyl head, Brian. Yeah, Jack White is a funny story, because we had the White Stripes 45 sleeves, some of them in our book. And so I said, well, I'll send Jack down a book because he's in it, you know, with the credit. And I thought that would be cool. I'll just send him a book. Right? So I sent him the book. I don't hear anything. 2 weeks later, I get a box in the mail. It's a whole box, Brian, of 45s from Third Man with a note in it. It says, thanks a lot, Spence, Jack.
Wow. Just random stuff or random 45s or what did he get you?
You know what? It was Third Man, you know, his record label, 45.
Right.
So beautiful. And, you know, B.P. Fallon's on it and all those.
So just all the artists under that label.
I guess it was like a pack, like really like a pack of 45s. Yeah, it was like a stack of them sitting in a box. And that really floored me. I said, you know what? If I have a problem meeting Jack, I don't have to do it. We have a connection here. You know?
Yeah.
But one of the main things I'm trying to do actually is do a vinyl film, which is going on with a filmmaker, my filmmaker buddy Lee Stewart and Judith, of course, and John Luongo, who's a famous music man. And we're trying to get a film backing for a vinyl because of the resurgence going on. We got a lot of famous people that want to be interviewed too.
Sure.
In that, so that's going on. And I think let's see what I was going to do. I was going to also mention I cover film.
Yeah.
And as you well know, so I was thinking of and also the book thing. So I was going to mention in both those categories a couple of things. The music, I went to Tribeca, you know, Brian, and it has some really cool music doc films. One was called Dare to Be Different, which is about WLI radio in the 80s, if you remember. They were a cutting-edge radio station that literally broke the bounds.
Well, I was just, like, so into BCN. That's all I had on my dial.
Wow,
yeah. I'm sure they were just as awesome. I'll have to check that out, too, you know?
Yeah, they had such a history that they did this movie on it, and they broke, you know, they actually broke Joan Jett. They broke The Cure, a lot of groups that were not on the playlist. You know what it was like, commercial radio.
Mm-hmm.
They were different. They were kind of, so there was a whole movie on it. Really, it's a great, Joan Jett was interviewed. A lot of famous artists were interviewed in this film.
Speaking of Joan Jett, go ahead. We'll get back to that. Keep going. I don't want to interrupt you at all.
Okay. Whatever you want. Yeah. So that's one film that's out. There's a movie. I also saw The Image is Rotten about Johnny Lydon. That's a great interview with Johnny Lydon.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Michael, this is a great movie, Michael Olongo film by Drew Stone. Drew's this filmmaker I met. He's done two movies. One is, but the interesting one is Michael Olongo. And people don't know that much about Michael Olongo. He literally titles the movie, like, who the da-da-da is Michael Olongo.
Right.
And really, what Michael, I did a, they had a very big CBGB festival in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And
I wanted to go down.
They have it every year. So,
yep.
But they had this one where they had speakers speaking on the Ramones in that area. And it was a big thing. And I did a talk. Seymour Stein was there. He gave a talk.
Mm-hmm.
And Dave Fields gave a talk. It was really big. Monty Melnick, as you well know, and the Ramones family gave a talk. And Michael Olongo gave a talk. So Michael Olongo, for people to know, is a very kind of interesting person in the history of music.
Yes.
And so anyway, Drew did this movie, and it's coming out. It's just starting to come out. It hasn't been, I don't think it's got distributed yet.
What's the name of it?
You should see. Another movie is very big.
What was the name of that movie? The first one you were talking about.
It's, oh God, I should know the
You
title.
Don't have the title. Okay.
What? Who the? It almost starts. I don't want to mention the word. Who the da 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 is Michael Olongo?
Who the F is Michael? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Right. Michael Olongo. And but that's going to be coming out. As soon as you see the name, you know what it'll be. The other movie. There's a couple more I'm going to mention. A very big Roddy Bagua, who's a great filmmaker, and I've interviewed him. He's part of the MoMA collection, by the way, in film collection is very big. But he's doing a movie on Sid Barrett now. And so that's coming out with Mick Rock in it and interviews with Pink Floyd.
Nice,
and Mojo, did a rap on it, but it was too early. They actually put him into trouble. So the movie's coming out this year. It's not out yet. It won't be out till...
What, the magazine? Mojo Magazine?
Yeah, Mojo Magazine did a rap on it, but it's coming out next year. So it's really coming out next year. Mm-hmm. Okay, so everybody will know. But it's been talked about it a lot. Roddy did a movie on the life of Storm Thorgerson, a great movie, which I went to and reviewed. And, Storm was this great... People don't know, he was the founder of Hypnosis with Aubrey Powell, which was one of the greatest album cover design companies in England. They were renowned for doing albums for Led Zeppelin.
Right, I know the name, right.
Yeah, Pink Floyd, and Paul McCartney, UFO, da-da-da, it goes down the line, Led Zeppelin, of course. And he did a movie about Storm, and Storm passed away, people don't know, like about a couple of years ago. I had the fortune to meet him, I knew him. But anyway, he did a great movie on him. The other movie is really cool, going on right, I think it's done, it's being shown in England now, but it hasn't had a distribution deal yet, I don't think. It's Orion Williams, who is the famous director of a movie called Control about Joy Division, if you remember that film.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, so he's doing a movie on Morrissey now,
Cool.
Now that's interesting. So that's going to be a very cool movie you'll be seeing. And the last one, last but not least, and there's others, of course, I don't want to go through here a whole list, but these are the big ones, I think, is Scott Crawford, who was on, who I interviewed about his Spoke book. He has a book out. Spoke is a book about heavy metal groups coming out of punk groups. I have to use the word punk, but heavy.
Yeah.
Heavy punk groups coming out of Washington, D.C., did a book on it, really cool book, and now he's doing a movie on Cream magazine, which Judith and I will be interviewed in, and the laundry list, Brian, is amazing. Alice Cooper, Joan Jett, Seymour Stein, Mick Rock, Bob Gruen, Nate Thurston Moore, Chad Smith, name a person he's being interviewed in this movie. Paul Stanley, just recently.
Right.
So that movie's coming out, of course, next year. But that will be a really incredible doc film, I think. I mean, I'm very honored. We're very honored to be interviewed in that movie coming out. I guess the other part I wanted to talk about is some of the books. There's some great music books coming out. There's the famous Please Kill Me 20th Anniversary Edition. If you're not familiar, Please Kill Me is a book you got to have.
Oh, I have it.
Yeah, right? You have it, right?
Sure.
Anybody should have this book. If they're in music and they live it and they talk about it and they eat it, whatever, you've got to have this book. This
you
is
sure
like
do.
A book. And right? But they just came out with a 20th anniversary edition. That's a little bit different because it's abridged. They added some writing to it.
There's some more.
And,
there's some more to it.
What?
There's some more to it.
Yeah. And the book that I always put next to it, which I reviewed, was Stephen Blush's New York Rock. Now, that book is interesting. It set up interviews in the 70s, around that era, punk and so forth. It's different than Legs's book, definitely.
Right.
But it has that, if you look at it, it has the same sort of setup. So it's kind of like, if you buy one, you buy the other.
Yeah, that's one I don't know of. I'll have to check it out. What's it called again?
Check it out. You should have Stephen Blush. Oh, Stephen Blush will do a rap with you. He's
sure.
Incredible.
Tell him.
And, I'll hook you up with that. And there's Punk Avenue out with Philip Marcade.
Yep, we had him call called like a month ago. I love him so much. I went down and saw him play.
Oh, right,
yeah.
You had him on.
Yeah,
you had him on.
And a week later he called. Yeah, I went down, saw him, and a week later he called in. It was awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, we did a thing with him too. He's definitely.
He's the lead, for the people who don't know out there, he's the lead singer from the Senders, who are a phenomenal band. They were huge in the down in New York in the 70s.
Yeah, and then the thing about it's the forward writing of that book is by Debbie Harry and Lex McNeil, so that's kind of a cool thing. So
that tells you something, sure.
Oh, yeah, they put the stamp on it, right? They put the stamp on it. And then, of course, I've just talked about Scott Crawford's book, Spoke, which is very important in that little niche. And now, the other book, unbelievable, Brian Jones, Paul Trinka, really one of the, maybe the only book written on Brian Jones. There have been tons of books on the Stones.
I mentioned this to you on the phone. I have this old one. I haven't read.
That's
I don't
right.
know.
You have,
I don't
yeah,
know I where it. I got it. It's hardcover, and it just says Brian Jones on the spine of it.
That's
I mean,
worth a lot of money, Brian.
I'll take a picture and show you. The thing looks like it's from the 70s.
You, it's that's got to be a collectible.
Okay.
Right? So,
So what's this one? Who wrote this one?
Paul Trynka. His name's Trynka.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell you, you got to have this book. The stories in it are amazing. And he's a very honest... You know, I do a show, of course, you know, with Holly Steffi on Red Velvet Media. We both co-host, and we do these great shows also. But Paul was on, and he's a, you know what's great about him? He really talks. I mean, and he's a great talker, and you can tell he knows the history. And he's done other writings, too, by the way. So it's kind of like... To have him on, I mean, is a talk thing. You know what
right,
I'm saying?
Right.
It's a real talk thing. He's a really good talker.
You are, too.
No, thanks a lot. Yeah, I'm a rapper, man. I've got to tell you. Judith always says, you do the talking, Spencer. Or she'll say, Spencer, you do the business, and I'll just, you know, it's like that's how our relationship. Judith is great. I mean, Judith came into my life 1982, and we worked our first album. We worked on was Marshall Crenshaw's first album,
right?
And that was a great story because it's a beautiful album cover, and was voted into the AIG Cover Award 1983 show, and which was a big honor. They only selected six albums out of 3 years. Only
wow.
Six covers, and this is one. But you know, it was amazing who the judge was. Roger Black, and get this, Andy Leibovitz was a judge.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so I mean,
the photographer.
When I see Annie, I've seen Annie sporadically, and she knows. You know, it's like she picked me. You know, we're bound for life now. You know what I mean? You know, she.
That's
like
awesome,
when someone picks you or is tied to you in some positive way. It's amazing. Another book that's really incredible that I went to was Paula Scher. Paula Scher is a great, was famous in music design, and we had her in one of our. Judith and I did, you know, 21, our first book we ever did had her profiled on her album covers, and she has a very big book out now on all her work. It's phenomenal, Paula Scher. She's a great designer. And the thing about that story is that when I got out of Sire left New York, and I was looking for work, and I went up to CBS, and she was the really head art director there.
Yep.
And she was going to hire me. She said, Spencer, go home. Get a price, come back to me. but what freaked me out, Brian, were the cubicles. You know, I'm going down, I said, I don't want to sit in the cubicle.
Nah.
I don't want to have no windows. I can't work this way for 8 hours a day.
Right.
So I think, but, you know, we tied together with that. It's like I'm tied with Annie like that. She knew that she had the high respect for my work to hire me. So I know that in my life. And that was a big time in my life where I needed... You know, everybody needs, you know, to have something good said about your work, you know. So
sure.
She really, I never forgot, and we kid around about it, and she's a great person, but, you know, I've always been freelance, by the way. I've been asked by record labels for hiring many times, Polygram, RCA, Chrysalis, goes down the line. Always turned it down. I couldn't deal with working in the big company. I get phone calls from designers to the company. They'd be complaining. I said, no, I can't do this. I can't. My head couldn't handle it, you know. But I managed to survive, thank God, in the freelance world. And Judith is a great part of it because we worked on so many acts together. Bon Jovi's a big one. Billy Squire, Don't Say No, which I was...
Yeah, that's what I wanted to go over, the album covers you've done, because that's the most interesting thing about you for me.
Right.
I mean, I love all this stuff, but can you like list off the album covers you did? Because I think it's amazing.
It's a long list, but I'll go. We have actually our show, which is on tour, has 40 visuals. So
Okay, how about all the big punk New York ones you've done?
I'll name some of the really cool ones.
Right.
But you know, there's 45s and albums, but I'll name like the albums. So maybe we'll do that area. Marshall Crenshaw's first album, very iconic. Joan Jett, album, called Album, with a jump shot with the yellow background. It's a classic, iconic cover, probably one of the best rock and roll covers ever designed.
Yep.
Judith and I worked with Merrill Laguna and Joan at that time at Blackheart Records, and we designed it. The package was a four-panel pack. It's beautiful, but the front cover is iconic. The jump shot of Joan. The Billy Squire, Don't Say No, big time. I could tell you a couple of stories here. Like, the thing about Billy Squire cover was we wanted to do a raw feel for the cover, and it was really beautiful. We came out with this color. Jeffrey Thomas was a photographer related to Bon Jovi with us, and he took Billy into a bathroom. If you know the cover, he sits down there with his foot is bare, sticking out on the cover.
Yeah.
And the record company, Brian, went nuts. They said, wait a minute, we can have Billy Squire with his bare foot on the cover. You know, like,
right.
But we did it. But Billy had control. So he said, fuck that shit. Yeah, I'm sorry. Blank, blank that.
Right.
And he just said, we'll do it. And we converted the photograph into a color Xerox, and it's a very raw-looking cover, and that's the feel of the album, because Reinhold Mack of Queen produced it, and he had a sound in the album Billy never did before or after, by the way. And the album was multi-platinum, and every song was incredible. And it was like, I don't know, it's like a home run. And then I get called to go interviewed on MTV, because that's the first time I was interviewed. I was interviewed twice on MTV and VH1. That was the first time. And I was the first album cover designer, by the way, interviewed on MTV VH1, which is with Mark Goodman and Martha Quinn.
Nice.
And, yeah, because of the cover.
I grew up with those guys.
Yeah, but listen, Brian, the other story with this is very funny, too. I knew a girl at the power station, which Tony Bongiovi owned, right? Very big in New York. You know, everybody went to the power station. Madonna, Bruce Springsteen, everybody. Name a person they went to. I get a call from this girl at the power station. She says, Spencer, you won't believe this. Tony Bongiovi is running around to every studio at the power station showing your Billy Squire cover and literally screaming, this is what a rock and roll cover should look like.
Right.
That was a cool one. You know, that was cool. But then I've done, like, just came off a show, by the way, on the Ramones, which was toured at the Queens Museum and Grammy Museum, and I designed a number of the covers. The two that were in it were only studio albums, and they were End of the Century and Road to Ruin, very famous. And the covers are famous. The cartoon cover for Road to Ruin by John Holmstrom, and the iconic cover of End of the Century with Mick Rock. I mean, that's an iconic cover he always carries with him. And Mick just did a movie there's a movie on him. That's another great film. It's about Mick Rock. Which is out, by the way, distributed out in the commercial theater, and that is it's called Shot, S-H-O-T, and he shows the Ramones cover. There's three covers he did in Mick's life that are iconic. The Queen, you know, Queen, he did a lot for Queen.
Yeah.
Let's see, the Joan Jett.
Yeah.
I Love Rock and Roll cover he did, and he did End of the Century with the Ramones. So those are the three he's known for. And he showed the Ramones cover twice in the movie. He said that day. Yeah, I said, Mick must like this cover. He's showing it twice in the movie, shows the cover. But those two covers, Road to Ruin and Anderson, were just on a really big tour from the Queens Museum to the Grammy Museum in L.A. Very big shows. Huge amounts of people went to it. It just shows the iconic image that the Ramones have.
Right.
I mean, far and beyond. And they wanted to be, you know, the classic line is, they wanted to be like the Beatles. That's what they said. They wanted to be like, look where they are right now. Right?
Right. Well, when I was a little kid, actually, and I used to see, like, pictures of the Ramones, I thought they were like a Beatlemania type thing. So I can see how they were doing that, you know? Well, I was a little kid, you know, I wasn't sure about what they were, you know? But,
yeah, I know. And when I work with them, and people always ask me about this one. It's a classic. Did you ever know they'd become famous? The normal question, I don't know why they ask this. Of course we didn't. Anybody who'll talk to you about where they were at that time, nobody knew what they were going to do.
Right.
I'm going to say, yeah, I worked on the remote. Yeah, they're going to be famous. Somebody iconic. Oh, come on. I mean, that goes back. Talking Heads, another one. I worked on the very famous Fear of Music cover, co-designed, by the way, Concept by Jerry Harrison, amazing concept that was nominated for a Grammy, that's in the MoMA Permanent Collection, it's in the AIGA Archival Collection, and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Permanent. That cover is iconic and beautiful.
They all
that's
are,
one
yep.
of the greatest. Yeah, that Peter Saville, who's a famous designer, wrote, this was like one of the, it was a really incredible cover. He wrote about that, Peter Saville, who's a very famous designer. And, but I worked with Talking Heads, and at that time, they were controversial. Psycho Killer, you know, that was the song that started that whole thing. But, I mean, they were, at that time, nobody really talked about them. They went to L.A. with... I worked in the Sire Records. You won't believe this. I get a story that was unreal. They said they were throwing bottles at them in L.A.
Oh, my God.
That's how they started, because people...
The Talking Heads.
Couldn't relate. Yeah. They just couldn't relate to it.
That's awesome.
And then all of a sudden, boom. You know, well, boom. Fear of Music, actually, Fear of Music is a very important album in their life, because that's the first album that breaks the Billboard charts at some point at 25 or something
now,
like that.
Now, what did you do with the Talking Heads exactly? Talking Heads. You can't say the Talking Heads because they get really angry. what did you do with Talking Heads?
Well, co-design a number of pieces. I co-designed the famous Fear of Music album.
The Fear of Music album, right? Okay.
Yeah, and also I did a couple of, and also I worked on like the Inner Sleeve of other things, which we don't need to talk about, because their albums were okay, but they weren't really. But I worked 45, Take Me to the River, for instance, 45 Sleeve, very famous, was in a MoMA show in 2010, by the way. And curated by Laurie Anderson, you know, and
yep.
So she picked that cover. I co-designed that sleeve with Talking Heads,
yep.
And also Cities, which is a great piece of artwork.
Sure is.
The Plastics in Japan sent me artwork, and I did the typography on that. So, and why we got together is a very good story, because I was schooled by a very famous Yale faculty.
Uh-huh.
Yale was major in design, you know, one of the top schools in the country. And David Byrne, Chris Franz, and Tina Weymouth went to RISD, another school. What was interesting about the two schools that go together is that their foundation is Joseph Albers. You know, if you know your art, you'll know who Joseph Albers was. He was a very big foundation about color, design,
mm-hmm.
and that was the same type of schooling that RISD, Yale, Cooper Union, there was a small list that were on this, what you'd say, type of schooling by Joseph Albers. So I really got together with that. I would come into, you know, I work on something, I'd send it over to the heads, and the art director said, David, he'd say to me, I walked in one day, he said, David loves your typography specialist. He loves your typography. I said, okay, that's good. We're starting. We're okay, you know. But we blended together. So anything I worked on with them was a big thing. I mean, years later, which is a great story, Sire leaves New York.
Yeah.
And when they leave New York, like an idiot, I don't go after the Ramones. I don't go after Talking Heads. I could have.
Right.
I didn't.
Right.
I was busy. I was doing other stuff. I didn't think about it. Now when I think about it, maybe I should have, maybe I should have. I still worked on, you know, a lot of stuff, so I didn't think about it. Chris Franz, I spoke with a couple of years ago only, and he said to me, something that blew my mind. He said, Spencer, I wish you would have worked on us on Remain in Light. And that was the next album after the Fear of Music. He said, we had such hell working with that art director. You should have worked with us. And I said, oh, my God. You know, you hear stories. You don't know. You know, it's like, and I didn't. And another thing, the Ramones loved my design. I was on Marky Ramone's Sirius show.
Yeah.
And he told me that. He said they loved my design. I didn't know that.
That's great.
I really didn't. I didn't get any feedback like that from the Ramones.
I mean, they must have had some say in it. They must have. I mean, I would think they'd like it if they had it.
Well, this is it. Okay, the classic story, there's two albums that I worked on are very interesting. One has a cartoon in the front, and if
right.
you know the Ramones' history, they did not like cartoons. They did not like cartoons.
They didn't. Okay. So what about all the Hallstrom cover stuff, you know? I mean...
Right, right. But going back, and even John said that, the reason why the album, he said that at the table, he said to someone out there, you know, the Ramones blamed him for the album not selling.
Now, what was that? Was that Road to Ruin or End of the Century?
No, that's Road to Ruin.
Road to Ruin.
Now, End of the Century is interesting because this is a great story. Mick Rock did the shoot, and they're in T-shirts. Now, here's another controversial thing with the Ramones. They don't like T-shirts. Forget about it. They're leather jacket kids. You know
right,
that.
Right, right, right.
So he did. I had two pictures to work with. I had only two pictures to work with. I had the T-shirt picture for the front, which ended up just getting by the way, by them. Just getting by to be used.
Uh-huh.
There's a big controversy in that because, you know, they were really adamant about the T-shirt thing. But then I had a leather jacket shot. And the front cover to me was the T-shirt shot. If you see the shot in the leather jackets, it doesn't really... They look cool, but they're not like... But when you see the color T-shirts, wow.
Yeah.
That's what Mick Rock is known for.
Okay.
Color.
Yep.
Color. He was really one of the few photographers that I ever worked with in my whole life. I worked on other stuff with him. Color was humongous. So I said, we'll do that. And Sire wanted to use it anyway. So I said, we're going to do that. And then the inner sleeve, which is an interesting story, and then Marky told me on the show, which I had no idea about, nobody knows this, I converted the leather jacket color shot into a high contrast black posterization shot on an orange background.
Okay.
So you open up the inner sleeve and you see this black figures, and you can see who they are.
Yeah.
On an orange background. Now, right. The story was this. Ramon saw that, and they said that they wanted that for the front cover. And so it didn't turn out to be that, but you know what they did? They used that on 45 sleeves overseas.
Yeah.
I have several here.
I'm sure if I saw it, I'd have to go, oh, yeah. You know, everything I've seen.
I'll tell you, I could tell you this, Brian, of all the covers, those two are probably the most controversial visually for front cover that the Ramones dealt with. The
right.
other covers are very rock and roll or shot or whatever.
Right.
And the other covers are, I don't know, graphically... I've got to admit, to me, the best covers are Road to Ruin, End of the Century, and the first cover, the Roberta Bailey cover.
Oh yeah,
and also the Danny Fields.
Yeah, that
the
would be the first would be my favorite for Ramones. I got to say, but I love yours as well.
There's no doubt about it. That's a classic,
right.
And the Danny Fields cover, right? The Danny Fields cover, which is them against the wall again.
Yes,
that's a good shot.
Similar to the first one, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in my mind, graphically, their history, those are the four. And the last cover is interesting, the Mark Costabile cover, because that's artwork painting. I like that cover.
I like
it. But in between, all those covers, there's nothing really you can look at and say, wow, that's really cool.
Right.
I mean, really. I mean, they're just like thrown together, literally. I mean, seriously.
But the Ramones are so cool looking to me, you know. You can take a picture of them, you know, washing their dishes, and I'd like it.
I mean, John, in our 545 book, which is a classic to get, we have a sleeve in there that is the first sleeve he did with them, and it's really a mixture of it's black and white,
mm-hmm.
but it's very strong because it's like writing, his artwork writing, going along with black and white photographs on a 45 sleeve.
Sure.
That is a really cool sleeve, by the way. A lot of people have never seen that sleeve. It's in our book.
Okay.
I have great stories. Like, I met Iggy Pop, and Iggy has a 45 book. Great stories about a 45 book.
You can tell, I'll give you to till 2 o'clock. If you have any, like, really great, funny stories you want to tell us, go for it, Spence. Now's your time.
One funny story is I walked into Sire Records, and the author says, Spencer, I don't believe this. He says, Joey Ramone just called to ask how you are. Joey Ramone never calls up anybody at Sire and asks how anybody is.
He cared about you.
Yeah, he really did.
Yep.
And you know, it's not a bad thing about Joey, because if you knew Joey, and I did, he was a nice, he was very nice.
Sure.
Joey's a really nice guy.
That's what everyone
really
says. Well. Sure, yep.
And they all had different, I don't know how the hell they all stuck together. Like, you know, what's interesting is, like, Dee Dee Ramone's very interesting, because he's a great writer.
I mean,
he's just really a great writer, right?
I didn't know that, actually, to tell you the truth. Dee Dee was a great writer, huh?
By God, yeah, Brian, I got to tell you, man, and they write things about that. You know, when they write, like, stuff about the Ramones or factual stuff.
Yeah.
He is a very concrete. He used a cement thing, keeping the glue, not cement, let's say the glue. The writing thing, very big.
I do need to read more on the Ramones. I love them. I've heard all this stuff, but I can't say I know, like, you know, details, you know.
But, and you know, Monty Melnick, who's now going to tour with us, had a very privileged, and he was the road manager, and he was on every, you know, he was on over 22,000 concerts with them.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote a book on the road to Ramones. And John Holstrom has a book on punk also, by the way, on punk, a very big punk magazine book that was out. Those are two really interesting books to get.
I have a lot of things to read, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, on the road to Ramones and the punk magazine book, wow. John Holstrom with the punk and Monty Melnick. Now, that book's being reprinted a lot. And that, why I'm bringing that up, Monty's book also, is because it's being reprinted in different countries now.
Yeah.
There's such a big printing on that, and they're just great stories, you know.
Who wrote the one you mentioned, Road to Ramones?
On the Road with the Ramones, on the Monty Melnick.
Oh, Monty.
Monty Melnick.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
So he's the big guy in Ramones. I mean, he's like, next to the group, he's the only guy left who knows about them, really.
Yeah.
Holmstrom definitely does, too, you know, Joe Holmstrom. But Monty was the road manager. He's had, the stories he has are unbelievable.
I'm picking that book up for sure. Like, I want to read all these, but I think that's the first one I'll pick up. Because, I mean, just that you told me Dee Dee's a writer, I didn't know it. I'm like, gosh, damn, I need to know this stuff.
Yeah. And also, about our tour, very interesting. I was talking about, we tell stories about the making of certain albums, about the things we design, and stories nobody's heard. One interesting one is the Lou Reed cover, the New York album cover.
Right, black and white.
Well, no. That's a four-color cover towards the greenish area.
Oh.
I'm going to look at it.
Oh.
And it's actually four-color. It's actually four color, but it has that look. You know, I wanted to have that.
Yeah, it's the one. I think I'm looking at it now. It's the one where they're all standing next to a wall, right?
Right. Okay. Yep. So this is a story about that. The cover is Lou Reed in different dress as a group in an alley. Now,
it's all him. All right. Yeah.
Yeah, but the secret is this: the photograph that comes off of that concept was photographed by Brassai in 1930s, a picture done in Paris of a group of men in an alley. That's where that concept comes from.
Oh.
And so, yeah, things like that. People don't know. So,
yeah.
Oh, my God. No, it's like, who did that?
I'll have to look for that. Who is it, a photograph or a painting, the original that it came from?
Well, the original is, actually, it was Judith and I went to the Met and saw it. It's a picture.
It's a photograph.
Photograph in 1930, I forgot the exact date, 1930s, though. That's where it's based. It's called in, you know, in French, Center, Group of Men in an Alley. That's what it says.
I'll look for it.
Yeah, so that's where that's based on, you know. Mm-hmm. It'd be interesting about that. And then if we go into the Velvet Underground, which we worked on also,
right,
the 93 tour, the Peel Off Banana. We did the metal box for Lou Reed also, magical, gorgeous metal box. We did limited edition. We did the Peel Off Banana for the Velvet Underground. Now, that's an interesting story because the banana has always been in an image for anything, the regular banana than any Warhol. There's no question about that.
Yeah. That's, you're not saying Warhol did the banana, but you did a different banana, right?
Oh, yeah, this is what I'm going to bring in. Now I'm bringing in the reason and what's going on here. So we decided to do, what are we going to do on this image that will kind of like change it? But then we found the most important thing, and actually Sylvia brought it up. The bathroom in the factory has foil all over it, completely foil.
Yeah.
So we said, wait a minute, let's foil do a banana. We had someone make up a clay banana from art school, and then we pressed foil on it, and then I bought these plastic letters, pasted it on a board, foil over that, composed it with a velvet-type image in the background, and boom, came out to be this poster. It's gorgeous. Absolutely great graphics.
Mm-hmm.
It was in major shows. Best poster of the year by Billboard. Hello. You know, it was just came out to be amazing. And but I think that's really great because the banana, this is not, it's real. I mean, it has a purpose. Why right. it's like that? For the reason of the foil in the factory. Sylvia brought this out. I mean, it's really, Sylvia came up with it.
So,
we designed the whole thing, put it together, made it into what became this beautiful design thing. But that's incredible. You
it,
know?
It, it, yeah, the idea comes from the bathroom of the factory. That's
exactly.
That's cool.
Right. So, you know, who would have held... But, no, I got to bring it, because Sylvia is unreal. I mean, Sylvia was married to Lou for about 12 years.
And right.
She, you know, she also worked on Songs for Drella Design, which was nominated for a Grammy with you know, John Cale and Lou, Songs for Drella. That package is beautiful, too. She worked on that before she got into it with us. She's a very creative person, you know, and The chemistry that we had with her was amazing, and we still have. We're very good, and now she's going on the tour with us, and we're very best friends. But the creative energy between the three of us are unreal. I mean, this is like what makes the whole thing happen. So we would do like New York album, Magic Unlocked.
Mm-hmm. I see you worked with Pretenders too, huh?
Yeah, I did a 45 wow. sleeve. Stop Your Sobbing.
Great song, yeah, Kink song,
big time, big time, yeah. That's what got me the Pretenders. But I want to go back to Lou Reed. The Magic and Lost cover is done. That's a beautiful cover. Louis Chamet did the photograph in Paris, and Judith came up with these alchemy symbols with Sylvia that were used for the songs, and the cover is very beautiful. And Louis Chamet is an amazing photographer that Lou liked, and that was the front of that cover. But yeah, to the Pretenders, the first album, that's a great story, because the first album was another thing. I walked in the office, the art director said, Spencer, we just signed a group called the Pretenders. You don't have to give the DJs anything. Just put the needle on the record. And I said, what are you talking about? So I heard the record. I said, oh my God,
yeah.
This is the record, right? That's what he meant. You know, in those days, you give money to the DJ. You know,
payola. But,
oh yeah,
that's
yeah.
payola.
So, but, you know. But the Pretender, Billy Squire was like that. Bon Jovi's a funny story. I mean, Bon Jovi, he comes in, really nice guy. John was always very nice. John still is a very nice person. He gives to people. He's a very
He seems
guy.
Like a nice guy, yes.
He
I
is.
Mean, I can't so say I'm the biggest Bon Jovi music fan, but they seem like nice guys, for sure.
Yeah, they are. They are. Yeah. But so anyway, he comes in on the first album, working on it. Arthur Mann, my very dear friend, signed Cinderella and Bon Jovi. He calls me up. He says, well, Spence, what do you think of the name of Bon Jovi? I said, well, it sounds like Van Halen. Little did I know that he'd be so influenced by Van Halen. He would come into the office, Spencer, what do you think of the Jump video?
Oh, wow.
And you know, yeah, he really became, and
so,
the stylist, by the way, his next album is from Van Halen.
Right, I mean,
that's what happened with him. But it was like Bon Jovi, Van Halen. But anyway, he comes in with a tape of Runaway, okay? So I hear this tape, and he leaves the office, and Judith runs up to me, and she says, Spencer, he's going to sell a million. And I said, yeah, right.
You didn't think it was a good one.
Are you crazy? I listened to Runaway. Runaway is a very Ricky Dee sound. It's like...
She's a little runaway.
How the hell would my right mind think that was going to be a million songs?
Right.
Like make them automatically gold.